Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. I'm Eric Jensen, joined by today my co-host Christian Kessan.
Been a busy day, but I'm ready to get down.
And of course, our esteemed guest today, John Butler. How you doing, John?
Ball talk.
Good stuff. John took over for me last time. Go back, check that out. Did a great job. Had to relegate him back to the bullpen, but perhaps his time will come again soon. So we're very excited about that. We have a lot of football to talk about today. There is a big division to get to, the AFC West. So we are going to just skip the house cleaning and get right to the news. You already knew that you could find us on Podbean and on iTunes and on ProSportsFandom.com there. House cleaning done. Let's get to the news. So today, the most major piece of news is Joe Hayden got cut by the Browns, got added to the Pittsburgh Steelers. A little peek behind the curtain, we did have a discussion about this off-air, and just kind of summarizing from John and Chris's point of view, I think we all agree that this is a pretty good signing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hayden adds a veteran presence in the backfield for them. His numbers have kind of gone down over the years, and he wasn't really part of that rebuild in Cleveland. So Cleveland's not losing a massive piece. Maybe they could have traded him, but, I mean, they wouldn't have been able to get that much for him anyways. So that's all the news we had today. So we are just going to get right to the AFC West. Are you guys ready?
Yep. Let's get it going.
So I just want to start with this question. And just so we're all on the same page, in my opinion, the AFC West is the best division in football. Do you guys think the same? I'll start with you, Chris.
I'm going to say it's the most competitive division in football. I'm not going to say best. You could argue with the NFC South and the AFC West. If it's not number one in the best division, it's number two. All the teams in this division are going to be competing for either a wild card spot
or to win
the division.
For me, I think
I'm going to
go with it is the best division in. Well, definitely the most competitive. The only reason I would say it's not the NFC South is the Saints don't have much of a defense. And at least the Chargers would be on the back end of this division, but they are going to be competing. They have a decent defense, way better than the Saints, because you have Bosa, you have Melvin Ingram there, you have Jason Verrett still there, you have some major pieces where the Saints are just kind of guys right now. They don't have stars or defensive studs that you expect to see, at least one or two per team.
All right. Yeah, that's a good point. So moving on from best division now, that just so we can, that was just so we could set the playing field. Now down to the really brass tacks, the most important position in football, the quarterback. There are so many good quarterbacks in this league. Maybe not all of them are top 10 quarterbacks, but you could make an argument that two of them are. Who is the best quarterback in this league right now? I'll start with you, John.
It's an absolute no-brainer for me. The guy has been on a tear ever since he came into the league. He just got his extension this last offseason. The Raiders see him as their future franchise quarterback, and he's shown it. It was unfortunate to see him have that broken leg in week 16, I believe, last year. You could see the difference in that offense once they lost him, as it is expected. But he's been way better than anybody could have imagined out of a round quarterback. And a lot of the stigma issue with him coming into the draft was his comparison to his brother. Everyone was nervous of him becoming his brother.
Yeah, I think that there's a case to be made for Derek Carr, but I think I'd have to go with the most senior quarterback in my division. And that's Philip Rivers. And the reason I take Rivers over Carr is just because I get that Carr had a great year last year, but he had to play an MVP type year that you're not going to see out of a lot of quarterbacks just to get that team to a second wild, to the first wild card spot. Whereas I think that Philip Rivers is a better quarterback in the sense that I think he has, with less pieces around him due to injury, I think he has just as much, if not more, fluency with his offense. And I make the case that this year he will be the best quarterback in the division because I think that the offensive line is obviously an issue there, but they've made some strides in preseason. They've looked very, very good. I think that he can come close to people forget that, like, before the last 2 years, Philip Rivers was absolutely tearing it up as a quarterback in the NFL. 2014, 4,286 yards, 31 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. The next year, same kind of yardage numbers, 29 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. And even with a bad line around him last year, he had 33 touchdowns, 21 interceptions, 4,386 yards. Yes, I know that the interceptions are a glaring number there, but I think a lot of that is caused by the offense.
I would agree with you there. But I'm going to go with Derek Carr, mainly because Derek Carr's offensive line is better than Philip Rivers, and we all know that. It's obvious. But with Derek Carr, for me, I think the leg injury, I think he's going to come back stronger than he was last season. I see him having a MVP caliber year. And we'll talk about Marshawn Lynch in a little bit, but he's part of the reason why Derek Carr has more pieces than Philip Rivers does.
So just playing a little game here, we're going to play some over-under here. So for Derek Carr, Derek Carr, over-under here, let's start with yardage. Over-under, Derek Carr has 4,000 yards.
I think he's going to be right at 4,000, but I would go over. He's going to have about 4,200 yards.
I'm going to go over. That to me is easy. He played 15 games last year. He had 3,937. All he needed was, he didn't even need 100 yards to cross that 4,000 yard thresh mark. And it's obviously not easy to do, but I think Derek Carr is an easy lock for 4,000 yards at least.
Okay, so I'd agree. I think that over 4,000 is easy for him to accomplish. The bigger number here, though, and I think the biggest number last year that really set him apart from every other quarterback in the league was the fact that he was able to throw so few touchdowns. I believe he only threw interceptions. I believe he only threw seven interceptions last year.
He had six.
Six? So let's put that at a more average number. Over under, Derek Carr has 10 interceptions this year. I'm going to go with the over just by maybe two or three.
I'm going with the under. I believe he's going to have around eight. I believe he's going to have a not quite Tom Brady.
I think
10 is
the perfect spot for it.
He's going to have a very good year.
It's tough because we know
he's going to be very limited. You're not going to see it very often.
And I'm going to side with Chris on this. It's 10 is it's really hard to not throw 10 in the league nowadays with everybody throwing 550, 600 times a year. But he's shown the ability to not put it in harm's way, to be able to get the touch pass, the bullet pass, exactly where it needs to be for only his receiver, no one else. It's going to be tough because he's a great leader. He's a great quarterback. And playing against the Chiefs, the Broncos, and even the Chargers, they're going to be some difficult defense. And they do have to take on the Patriots. They have to take on the Bills. But I think he's under 10 interceptions.
So here's an interesting question to pose to you about Derek Carr, to both of you. So I I'd just like to get on the record as saying I don't think Derek Carr is a bad quarterback. I think he's a top 10 quarterback. I just think that Phillip Rivers is going to have the statistically better year this year. My question for you would be this. If you had to, if we take the AFC and we say that Tom Brady is the top quarterback, there's a tier with about three QBs underneath him before you get to kind of middling to average starters. Where is Derek Carr in that kind of top five quarterbacks in the AFC, and is he as good as Tom Brady?
I can't even believe you asked that question, but
Let me pose you this question. Is he better than Ben Roethlisberger?
I think Ben Roethlisberger is overrated. I would put Derek Carr at the number two spot. He's the most. I think he's going to be the most consistent, and last year he showed it. And
see, Roethlisberger's not overrated.
I really do think Ben Roethlisberger is overrated.
Quickly on that, he's not overrated, but it's the fact that he's 6'5". He's a very tough quarterback to deal with, but he's always had issues playing on the road. He's just not the same guy for some reason. For me, though, Derek Carr, for me, you've got Brady, you've got Breeze, and AFC?
Yeah,
he's got to be number two then for me. He's right behind Brady. There's no one else really that has the same talent that he does and same ability to just be an absolute leader and beast on the field whenever he takes it.
Okay, and another question about Derek Carr here. Every quarterback has these traits that we refer to them by. Tom Brady's the ultimate winner. Like, if you put him on the 20-yard line with the game on the line, he's going to get a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers makes these crazy throws. Russell Wilson's super mobile. What is that thing that makes Derek Carr a special quarterback?
I think it's a combination of multiple things. He has a little bit of it all. Maybe not the mobility, we can kind of think. But I don't think there's one special thing for Derek Carr. And if there is, I haven't found it yet. So I would say it's a combination of a little bit of everything. Maybe not the clutchness. I wouldn't go there yet. We haven't seen enough of him yet to say clutchness, but it's a combination of it all.
I'd agree. It's perfectly, the way to put it is if you were to build a quarterback, Derek Carr is almost exactly what you'd want physically. He's not a true pocket passer where he can't take off and where he's stuck almost like a Peyton Manning was during his career. He's got some mobility. He's not a run around and scramble all the time guy, but he's taken some rushes if he's needed to. If he sees something open, he'll take it. But he's got a strong arm. He's got the build for it. It's the fact that he's a very balanced quarterback, I think, is he's able to run. I think you could stick him in almost any system and he'd be successful.
Yeah, you guys make good points. I'd still have to stick with Rivers, and it's only because I've seen Rivers is almost since 2013. I've watched Rivers more than I've watched any quarterback other than a Broncos quarterback, and there's just his throwing motion is weird. I get it, but like there's just something about Phillip Rivers that is criminally underrated, and I think that he can, by the end of the year, be the best quarterback in this.
No, of Carr.
Yeah.
What?
What do you think on the what's his character, best character, or what's his best skill?
Of Rivers. No, on
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr, I think for Derek Carr, for me, it's hard to point out to someone who I'm a football geek. I watch a lot of film on like YouTube and highlights, and I'm super psyched. I'm going to hopefully get Game Pass here in a few weeks, but it's his vision. Like the way he sees the field, I think he sees it better than anyone in the league, including Tom Brady. I think he has a better field vision than Tom Brady. I think he looks off safeties incredibly well. I think his timing is impeccable, and I think he reminds me a lot of when he gets outside the pocket of Aaron Rodgers, but I think you guys are right. Like, he's a combination of every great quarterback in the league, but I still have to take Rivers. It's just something about the Chargers this year and something about Rivers that it's just – it feels like maybe this team's going to really shock people.
Yeah, I would agree with you. If he's got the – if everybody stays healthy, that's the biggest question with the Los Angeles Chargers. Is everybody going to stay healthy? Because you have Antonio Gates, you have – Akeem Allen, you have pieces, but you haven't seen them on the field enough.
They haven't
in recent years.
They haven't played enough together, and it really hurts. Because last year you had Keenan Allen go down second game of the year, and he was looking great, looking to have an excellent year. But he's just had these freak injuries where he can't stay on the field. Antonio Gates, I believe, is 37 at this point. He's not getting any younger. And unfortunately, by halfway through the season, Phillip Rivers is playing with guys off the street that they're just finding. And I agree that Rivers is a great quarterback. He just always gets put in these bad situations of two offensive linemen are usually gone for the year at some point, which a lot of teams deal with. But he seems to have a lot more of these injuries, and he's working with pieces that he hasn't even talked to. All of a sudden, they're on an NFL field.
That's my point with Rivers, though, is that he turns these guys if they take off the street, and he turns them into legitimate threat as receivers. For example, not a guy off the street by any means, but I think a guy, and just hear me out, terrible fantasy advice coming. Maybe, John, tell me what you think of this. I think Travis Benjamin, for example, like, if you're a fantasy owner, like, people are sleeping on Travis Benjamin. I think he had an excellent preseason. He had a great season there last year, kind of as a wide receiver three guy who made things happen when Keenan Allen was out. And I think that Rivers makes guys better. And I think, whereas if Travis Benjamin would have stayed, if he would have stayed in Cleveland, we'd never be talking about him like this. But now I think that if he continues on his career arc where he is right now, I think Travis Benjamin can end up and be a two wide receiver. But that's just my take. I just think that Rivers makes players better. And just from a fantasy standpoint, I'd like to hear what your thoughts
on
Benjamin.
The biggest issue with him is he's always been the deep threat. He's never been a volume guy like Keenan Allen. He's never been that 80, 90 catches a year. He's that piece that takes the top off the defense. He's not someone that you're going to look for. He's a decent route runner, but his biggest thing is his speed, which is going to fall at some point, but if they need him to, they can. I think the bigger piece, he's good to look for late round in fantasy, but like I said, his biggest issue is he's not a guy that you shouldn't be relying on as your number one receiver.
Yeah, I can see your point there. I don't think he is a number one wide receiver as far as fantasy goes, but I think he's a decent flex guy. Moving away from the fantasy aspect, though, and kind of staying on the Chargers offense, and really moving to another position, because this can kind of segue us into Marshawn Lynch talk. Melvin Gordon, he had close to 1,000 yards last year. If he didn't have an injury in the second to last week of the season, he would have broken 1,000 yards. So I have an over-under to play with for him. So Melvin Gordon.
I'm close on that one.
1,200 yards over. What do you guys think?
I think he's going to break the 1,000, but 1,200, I'm kind of stretching on right now. But he is the main tailback for the Los Angeles Chargers. He's going to have the majority of the touches, so I could see it. But I'm going to have to go under. But it's going to be really close. He's going to have like 1,100 yards.
I'm going under as well. As much as I like Melvin, with, especially with Danny Woodhead gone, we may see a lot more from him in the passing game, but that defense still hasn't shown enough to allow the Chargers to play a very ground-heavy game. He had 254 attempts. He actually missed three games last year, so if you add in three more games for him, he would have been close, but he hasn't, in the 2 years he's been in the league, he doesn't have an average above four, which part of it is the offensive line, and I think that's going to hold him back again this year. I'm going under on 1,200.
So that brings up an interesting question as well. You said the defense isn't quite there yet. I'd make the argument that the defense has the tools right now to potentially be a 10 to 12 range defense. I think Joey Bosa is obviously a beast on the defensive line. I think they've got guys in the secondary who can do damage, like I'm blanking on names, like Dexter McClure last year, by the way. He's an underrated cornerback. He gets the job done. He shuts down. Like I said, I watch a lot of tape. I've seen a lot of tape of him. I really like the way he looks. Brandon Stewart, like, he's an excellent guy as well. Melvin Ingram at linebacker. Or did Melvin Ingram leave this offseason?
I'm double-checking. No need to cut it out. I'm double-checking. No, Melvin Ingram is still here. Melvin Ingram is still a part of the Chargers.
For some reason, I thought I saw somewhere that he left. But I think that they have the pieces in place to be a good defense. Where do you see this defense kind of being at the end of the year?
An average defense. They're not going to be great, but they're not going to be terrible. There's just not enough pieces on the defense for it to be great. It's not a top 10 defense, I'm telling you that right now. Because last year they were not good. I mean, they didn't. I think they will improve a little bit, but I see them around the 15 range. Between 1 and 32.
I'd agree with middle of the road. The biggest thing with them is they have some good guys for taking down ball carriers and getting to the quarterback. But you don't have a lot of turnover machine guys that can really help. They did improve in the secondary because you've got Casey Hayward and Jason Verrett another year together. You've got Joey Bosa hopefully being able to stay healthy. And a lot of the defense didn't change, but it's the fact that you don't have these superstars out there just yet. Bosa obviously becoming one. The addition of keeping Brandon Mebane in the middle of that line is going to help, but it's the biggest thing when you talk about a top 10, top 12 defense is getting that ball back for the offense, and they don't have that really yet.
Yep, that is.
I disagree there, but that's just a matter of opinion. I think they can be a pretty good defense. Moving.
It all depends. Health is the biggest thing that has been with the Chargers too, on both sides of the ball.
That has been the biggest thing for years. The past two or three years. That's why probably last year they didn't make it to the playoffs, or they didn't even contend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but even with an injured roster last year, like they lost so many close games. Like if one or two things go right for the Chargers last year, they're a playoff team. They could even be challenging for the division if they had won one or two more games. they could have. There were just some fluky kind of things that happened with that team last year, and I don't know. They're not spoiler. They're not my division winner, but I think they can go places this year. Now we have
let's two head back places to Oakland to kind of wrap it up. I think
with this discussion right now, we can go, and I'll give you guys a choice. We can go Denver, or we can head back to Oakland. Where do you guys want to go?
To hit on Oakland and finish.
Let's go
up.
To Oakland.
Yeah, let's do that.
So. We talked about this earlier. We mentioned it a little earlier. Marshawn Lynch. I made it, if you go listen to our Fantasy Festival podcast, I made it clear I'm not a huge Marshawn Lynch fan. Like, don't get me wrong, I think Marshawn Lynch is a great guy, and I loved his playing style in his prime, but I'm just not sure that the guy who we saw play for the Seahawks is going to be the same guy that we see play for the Raiders. I'll start with you, Chris, because I haven't heard your opinion on Marshawn Lynch yet. But you think Marshawn Lynch is immediately a coming top off 10 running back in the league.
Right? 1 year bye. I'll call that a 1 year bye. He was gone for 1 year. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's going to come back better or worse because of the year off. I don't know if the year off helped him or if it hurt him. But right now, I'm going to say he's going to be a middle of the road running back because he's going to, spoiler, I am a fan of, well, I'm not a fan, but DeAndre Washington, I think he's fairly good. I think he's gonna maybe not split the touches, but it's going to be like 60-40 Marshawn splitting the carries with DeAndre Washington until about mid-year. And then if mid-year Marshawn shows that he can take on the carries, it'll probably go 75-25. Lynch. So, to answer your question, I don't know. I truly do not know. But right now I'm leaning towards
I would say he's not a top 10 because
that he's
going to
be rusty this year. He's going to, like I said, he's going to be a middle of the road running back.
Youth right now. You've got David Johnson. You've got Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon, which we already mentioned, Jordan Howard. It's really hard to put him in the top 10 knowing how he comes off that year-long timeout or bye, as we put it. But the other thing is he had one really bad year in Seattle where he played 7 games in 2015, and part of it was due to injury, but that was also a miserable offensive line that they had there. If you look back at 2014, 2013, he rushed for over 1,200 yards each year and going 5 yards per clip, 4.2, 4.7, and especially behind that Raiders offensive line that is a top 3 offensive line, he's going to have a lot of hold. The biggest issue with that running game last year for the Raiders was Latavius Murray, Jalen Richard, and DeAndre Washington had trouble consistently finding the holes that the offensive line was opening for them. DeAndre Washington had a great year. It doesn't seem like he is a bell cow back by any means yet, but has some potential. But I think with Lynch on a 1 year deal, they're going to use him, and he wants to. That's his hometown
team. After this
year,
I think he's
going to
retire.
I'm
talking about Marshawn Lynch, and I think he's going to retire for good. But I'll let y'all go ahead.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I totally agree there. If they make it. Maybe he'll play one more year, but like as soon as that team moves to Vegas in the third year, probably he's gone. Like I could see him playing next year if the Raiders do very well in the playoffs this year and maybe just miss the Super Bowl. Like I could see him playing one more year, but I like the way you put it, Chris. I'm not totally against Marshawn Lynch. I just don't know what he has to offer. I know that he may not be a top 10 back in any of our minds, but this is now drifting back into fantasy. The fact that you'd use a top 30 pick on like Marshawn Lynch just kind of confounds me. But that, we could save that for another fantasy show. But it's clear where we stand on Marshawn Lynch and this
moving
running
to
game.
Another running game. But I'm kind of interested to see your guys' thoughts on. Is the Denver Broncos.
The Denver Broncos, no secret if people didn't already know, they're my team. But I am, don't worry, I'm not a homer. I'm a realistic Broncos fan. I see this team, the ceiling is probably a last wild card spot, and the floor is probably an 8-8 season, and I'm leaning more towards the 8-8 season right now. But the one thing I really liked out of the preseason from them was the running game. I get it. The offensive line isn't the best, but
They opened up holes for CJ Anderson in the preseason, and he found them and looked explosive out of them like he did before he got injured last October. And I know that Jamal Charles is old and coming off a knee injury, and he obviously can't be a number one back, but he adds a little bit of spice as a third down back for that offense. I really think that the Broncos' running game, it could be argued that they are probably that their overall their running game is better than the Chiefs right now with Kareem Hunt and the Raiders. What are your guys' thoughts kind of on, we'll start with CJ Anderson and the Broncos running game and then kind of moving to Kareem Hunt. Where do you think that the Chiefs are as far as running game go? So basically, rank the running games in this division, assuming that San Diego's
the top. Yeah, I would go San Diego at the top for sure. And number two, I'm probably going to say Denver. I think out of the stack of choices, I think CJ Anderson is the best running back of the three teams, Denver, Kansas City, and Oakland. The offensive, here we go again. You're overrating the preseason, but because you got to remember the teams they played were Chicago, San Francisco, and Green Bay, all have bottom 10 defenses. Yeah, the defenses are atrocious, but I do think CJ Anderson, out of the stack of running backs that you gave me choice, I would say. Denver's running game is second. Third, I have Oakland. I'll say Marshawn Lynch is going to be the middle of the road at worst running back. Offensive line is still good enough for him to have a. I'm going to say this for later, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. He's going to have about a 700-800 yard season. So it's going to be worse than it was last year, but. And then at four, I have Kansas City. You just lost Spence Ware. That's a big majority of your choices right there in Kansas City. I'll let y'all go ahead.
I would like the Chargers run game. They've got a lot to prove. The biggest thing is health. I'm going to put Oakland second just because of the offensive line. Because they make such a big difference at versus any defensive line that you put out there. They're able to open up holes, whether those running backs that we see in Oakland can take that opportunity and run with it. That's going to be the difference. Denver's third for me. But a lot of their problem last year was the quarterback play. You had Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian kind of going back and forth last year with fans and with experts that nobody knew who to play. Neither of them looked great. And it caused a real problem for CJ Anderson, especially after the injury. They really relied on Anderson to be that guy, and he couldn't because of the injury that he had sustained. But also, teams were putting eight guys in the box because nobody expected Siemian to be able to quarterback a true team like that. And he showed that he couldn't last year, but he's shown some growth for sure.
I point to one game last year kind of illustrating your point. What can be good and what can be bad about having Trevor Siemian as your quarterback if you're CJ Anderson? That's the Bengals game last year. CJ Anderson, that was the game before he got hurt and missed the rest of the season. He had a very good game in that game, and they were stacking the box. But what that allowed the Broncos to do was let Siemian throw deep. That would if you want to look up the stats really quick, but I do believe that last year that was one of his best passing games. Siemian had
312.
Had three or four touchdowns in that game. He had 312 yards. He looked in control of the offense because they were splitting it evenly at that point between CJ Anderson and Trevor Siemian. And that was the prime of that Broncos offense. And unfortunately, Anderson got injured the game after. But I think
if they can find a nice trade-off where it's half Anderson and it's half Simeon, I think Anderson and Simeon can both coexist in a symbiotic relationship and become one of the better mid-tier offenses in the NFL, bottom, like, 11 to 15 range.
I don't think Trevor Siemian has that kind of potential. If you look at his last year, he only completed 59% of his passes. 18 of 10, okay. I just don't think they're a top 15 offense, and I don't think they can be. They're probably about 20.
I don't think they're that low. I don't think they're a top 10 team. Like I said, 10 to 15. I think they're probably somewhere in 11 to 12, but I think that Simeon is a good quarterback. I think that he's, especially at the end of last year, I always point people towards, and this is calling out a game again, but that game they played in December versus the Chiefs when the Broncos missed that field goal right at the end to or the Chiefs banked that field goal in right at the end to win the game. People forget that up to that point, Trevor Siemian had probably played, if Cincinnati wasn't his best game, then this was, because with press coverage, cover one, he was taking shots downfield. He threw three touchdowns. He had over 300 yards. He looked like a decent starting quarterback. Did he look like a guy that could be a franchise guy forever? Yes, maybe if you developed him a little bit more. But I think people underrate Simeon. I think he's better than a guy like Alex Smith. I think not by a whole lot, but I think he certainly is. And I think that he's if I had to compare him to someone, I'd say he's not athletically, but potential-wise, I kind of say he's where Sam Bradford is. It just depends on the team around him. If you can add good pieces around him, he can have a good year. Like Sam Bradford, people forget this is bringing it to Minnesota when he had pieces around him in Minnesota last year. Before that offensive line crumbled, he looked like a really good quarterback. I think Trevor Siemian's kind of in the same situation, and that the Broncos this year, if they can find that balance between the running and passing game, Trevor Siemian can be a guy who leads the Broncos to the playoffs. John, what are your thoughts on Siemian?
Well, and something to add on to is Simeon's only 25 point. So you do have to allow some room for still growth and potential, because he was a 7th round pick. And that's, for you to even get this type of play out of a 7th round pick is absolutely amazing, especially at the quarterback position. But
he, yeah, I
no, so, not a problem.
Sorry, I'll let you finish your point, but just one that I like. Yeah, he is a 7th round pick, and I hate people who are like, oh, he's not that good a quarterback. If you took, basically last year he was a rookie. If you had a 1st round rookie have that kind of year, people would say, oh yeah, there's a lot of room for growth and potential. He can probably be a franchise quarterback. But because he was taken in the 7th round, I think he's held back. Sorry, John, I'll let you finish your point.
A lot of people see a lot less potential there because we see so many busts late in the draft, because after the 3rd round, it's really a crapshoot. There's not a whole lot guaranteed. But, I mean, there's a lot of growth potential still there. He definitely improved as he went on. He had a couple of bad games in December, but he also faced New England, the Chiefs, and the Raiders. And that's 3 really good teams, and it's tough to do. But that Kansas City game at the end of November was actually his best game. And especially the Chiefs, that's not a defense that it's easy to play. They can blitz you. They can rush you. They're going to make you work for your yards, for your touchdowns. They will kill you if you wait too long. And he showed a lot of potential there. I think with teams actually starting to respect him next, hopefully going into this year, it'll help him, because he's going to be able to rely on the run game some to help take the load off of his shoulders. And especially if CJ Anderson can stay healthy, that's going to be huge for Simeon.
And an added thing about Simi and Chris is, I think people forget this, but the Tampa Bay game, he got hit, and he played with a shoulder sprain literally the entire year. So that best game of the year that he had, he later, after that game was done, it was revealed that that thing, the shoulder sprain had popped up, and he had dislocated his shoulder in that game and still led them to a drive that forced overtime. Like, that's incredibly impressive, and I think that if what we saw at the end of last year, which looked like the best Trevor Siemian, was Trevor Siemian with a shoulder injury, imagine what a fresh Trevor Siemian is going to be.
At the end of the season, we're talking about one game. We were talking about he had one good game in his last six games. I know y'all say he played Kansas City and New England. I'll give you New England, but Kansas City isn't the best defense in the league.
Are we watching the same? Hold on. Let's focus on this. Because me and John, I want to hear you thinking. Because the Kansas City defense is something that we want to get to in this division.
They're not a top two defense.
What do you mean Kansas City isn't one of the top defenses in the league? In my
is what I'm saying. I didn't.
They're a top five defense.
Yeah, but I'm saying that
that's not enough for you.
I'm saying they're not a number one or two defense. They're not the top defense. So
New England isn't a number one or two defense.
Well, I mean, that's quite obvious.
So are the Chiefs.
But you've still got to play. You're still playing those
teams. Here's the other thing, though, too,
year. So I mean, you still have to be able to show something. In those games, he didn't show anything.
Last year, they used him as a game manager. They didn't ask him to go out and win them games. Because if you look back at the year that they had, a lot of them were one touchdown, two touchdown games where, hey, we have the lead, just protect the ball. And he only went 18-10 in terms of touchdowns and interceptions. So he didn't kill them, but he didn't help them a lot either. Yeah, we're talking about his best game was against Kansas City for 368 yards, but remember the situation the Broncos were in. They have that ability to just run out the clock, eat up as much clock as they can because of the defense they have. They don't need to have these 2 to 3 minute drives on offense to just put up 40 points a game.
Also,
they weren't expecting him to be that Tom Brady, like 40, 50 throws a game and go win us with 450 yards.
Also, another thing is he showed that impressive game in Denver. It was in Denver.
It was pretty bad.
So we're talking about defense of Kansas City did not change from the time November the 27th to December the 25th. The defense was not any better. It was the same. So why did he come out with this embarrassing performance? Well, it wasn't embarrassing, but it wasn't great. So I would say
because it's hard for a rookie to go into Arrowhead. Say Dak Prescott had to play in Kansas City last year, and Dak Prescott is a bad example with you, but say Dak Prescott was a first-round pick, and he went to play in Kansas City last year, and he struggled a little bit. Would you say, oh, that's just because Dak Prescott is a terrible quarterback? Or would you equate that to the fact that it's basically a rookie quarterback going into probably the hardest place to play in the NFL?
But it doesn't make that wide of a difference. You don't turn from, I would say, a pretty great performance. It irks me to say that, but to flat out, you didn't show up.
You've got to remember, we'll just too, say he didn't they show also up had that tape on him in the off at that point. Because going into it, they were able to look at previous games that they had played, that the Broncos had played against other teams. But being able to see him face to face and seeing what he can and can't do, they were able to especially make a better game plan too, because they knew what they knew what they what tried saying, against him in Denver,
still, I mean, that's
and
still
they knew what worked,
mean...
they knew what didn't, so they were able to script something I think a little bit better too.
I know he wasn't going to be 3 touchdowns, 320 yards to no interceptions, but that performance was just bad. I mean, there's no explanation for. I understand if he's a little worse than the 3 touchdowns to no interceptions, but nothing explains that.
Sometimes there's also just bad days, though. Oh. I think that's what I would say, is there's bad days. We've seen Rodgers held to 80 yards in a game. We've seen bad games from every quarterback.
Okay, so here's our next game here. So a little bit of over-under on Trevor Simeon. And before we do, John, I think people forget that this team, that's a very underplayed storyline, that this team underwent a massive coaching change this offseason. Like, that was so out of the blue when Gary Kubiak just came out and said, hey, I'm going to retire. No one really saw that coming, and I think it's been underplayed that the Broncos have a new coach and a new offensive system, because John's right. They did use him as a game manager last year because Gary Kubiak's offense uses running backs so heavily. But this year they got Mike McCoy, and Mike McCoy is all about shotgun. And young quarterbacks traditionally do better in shotgun kind of schemes. And especially imagine that you grew up in now in Kubiak's system for your first 2 years. You learn from Peyton Manning, you learn to run a pro-style offense, and now you're going kind of back to the spread offense. You're like, oh man, this is a piece of cake, and there are so many different things that can apply. So I think that he's going to be much better this year. How much better kind of depends on your guys' answers here. So over under, let's go with yards. Just to put this in perspective, last year he had 3,401 yards. Okay. So I'm going to set the over-under at 3,900 yards. Over-under. I'm going to go over.
I just don't think he's going to be as – I think he's going to be overrated.
I think you put it a little bit too high there. I think if you – a little bit easier. I think under, though. He played 14 games last year, or started 14 games. He had the one where he was knocked out early against – Tampa Bay, where he only threw, he had 7 attempts all game, but I think 3,900 stretching it, because I still expect them to be a running style offense, even with McCoy. I think you're going to see a very good split between running and passing, and especially since they do have Jamal Charles, they do have CJ Anderson, they have a slew of running backs that they can use. I think they're going to do a lot more passing to the running backs, especially with Jamal Charles there. But 3,900 is too high for me. I'm going under.
Okay, so touchdowns. Last year he had 18. Let's say this year he does throw the ball more like we think. Let's set the over-under at 21 touchdowns. Just because I set the number and I like it, I'm going to go over just by one. I think that he's not going to have massive touchdown numbers, but I think they're going to improve.
He's going to have a similar season like he did last year.
I'm going to go over personally. We're going to see a lot of growth, and especially with Mike McCoy. He's been able to help quarterbacks wherever he's gone. I'm going to go over by how many, I don't know, but over is definitely is going to happen, just because of the fact he's got a full year under his belt leading that offense. He's going to have better chemistry with the receivers.
Okay, John, I'll give you a quick number. 25 touchdowns. Do you think that's about right?
24-25 is about right. Because they do have a bit easier of a schedule. They do get to face the Redskins, they get to face the Dolphins, the Jets. It's going to boost his numbers. I think 25 is right about where it should be set.
Hate to break it to you, but statistically, actually, the Broncos have the second hardest. I think they have the hardest schedule in the NFL. behind the Patriots.
That's also looking at last year, though. I mean, a lot of things changed throughout the year, and a lot of that is also because of the fact that you had 2 12-4 teams in your division between the Raiders and the the Chiefs. Both of them were 12-4, so that makes a big difference.
And they got Dallas.
They get to face the Giants.
They have Dallas and New York and
exactly
right.
You still get to face the Eagles, the Colts, the Redskins. It's going to help. I think 24-25 is right where he ends.
So we've been talking about the Broncos for a while. So this is an interesting question. A little bit, one more over under before we move on. And that is wins. Let's put the over under right down the middle. 8 wins for this team.
Well,
is it going to be over or under? I think it's
you got to do 8 for me. You got to do a half, because that way, if you do 8, you can't. If you think they're 8-8, so I would say 8.5. Do they end at 500 or not?
You'd say 8.5. So is that so over under? Sorry, I lost you, man.
So I'm gonna go. I think they go under. I think they finish at 8-8 because of the division. It's tough. And they're going to be a good enough team.
I would as well.
But
I agree.
Think they're probably going to be right where they finish. I'm going under on the wins.
An 8-8 squad. Too many offensive questions.
So that's an interesting point. And this is last point about the Broncos, I promise. And that not a whole lot of discussion, because it's a little bit weird to hear, but I don't think the Broncos' defense is going to be as good as they were last year. Everyone says they have issues on the offensive side. And when we were peek behind the scenes writing our script for this show, Chris kind of said, you know, that's kind of a bland question about the Broncos' defense. And here's why that's not a bland question. Is the Broncos' defense great? They're definitely a top 5 defense right now, but they are one injury away from being a middle road defense. They lost DeMarcus Ware to retirement this offseason. Derek Wolfe is currently fighting through a leg injury. They think he'll be back week 1, but he's going to be kind of fragile. Jared Crick has the same thing. Shaq Barrett is expected to be back by week 2, but he's coming off an arm injury. So no one knows how effective he's going to be. Apparently, TJ Ward is on the draft block, which in my opinion is just crazy, because I think he's the linchpin that kind of holds the no-fly zone together. They're one Aqib Talib suspension away, which usually there's at least one or two a year, from losing a game big. They're not as deep as they used to be, and people forget. I liked listening to the podcast yesterday because Jonders brought it up. The Rams' biggest free agent signing, Wade Phillips, is gone. Like, who knows how good that defense is? That defense had a lot of the same pieces they did when Wade Phillips wasn't there and was a very middle of a road team.
The one thing I would say is TJ Ward is
not. I'm not extremely confident in this Broncos defense like I was last year. But that's all I have to say on the Broncos. Any thoughts on that long diatribe, or shall we rest of this for the Mile High Fan
podcast? I agree.
Not as great as you think. Last year, if you are able to get to profootballfocus.com, they have him ranked as a 48th safety last year, and that's how bad he played. He'd be a second safety, obviously two safeties per team, but he's not even a top starter according to that. And he didn't look the same guy last year. Health was part of it, but he also looked much slower for some reason. So I think TJ Ward isn't a bad idea for them, because you can find safeties, but they have some questions on defense coming up for sure.
At the same time, you can't really afford to lose him either, because look at who you're starting if you trade TJ Ward.
Yeah, I don't want to see their backup safety, who is, I believe, yeah, they put Bradley Roby back there. Maybe Bradley Roby would be a decent safety, but he doesn't really have the size.
Well, I think Roby could be a ball hawk, and that's what they would expect out of him. That's about it.
So the team that, of course, we have not focused on a whole lot, and maybe for good reason, maybe for not, is the Kansas City Chiefs. And in my opinion, why we haven't focused on them as much as we have is because they're not the funnest team to watch on offense. They've got speedsters like Tyreek Hill, and he can make big things happen every once in a while. But it feels like it's the same thing every year for the Chiefs. It's, okay, we're going to struggle to start the season. We'll hit our bye. Andy Reid will coach us up. We'll fly to the end of the season. We'll be a second seed. We'll have a bunch of hype surrounding us. And then the Steelers come to town, or the Titans come to town, or literally any offense that can outscore Alex Smith will come to town and just blow our doors off in the playoffs. It just seems like at this point, they're kind of a foregone conclusion of, yes, they're good enough to make the playoffs, but no, they're not really a contender. Would you guys agree with that?
I think it's a perfect way of talking about it, yeah. The Chiefs are great regular season. They've been able to be that for the last long while. But when it comes to the playoffs, defense wins championships, but you have to be able to score. The fact that the Steelers were able to play the Chiefs last year and win without scoring a touchdown because they kicked 6 field goals, it's not very promising for the Chiefs. You should be able to beat 6 field goals in a playoff game.
Yeah, I would agree. My thing with the Kansas City Chiefs this year is their schedule is tough, especially through the first 8 games. I only see one free win, or I wouldn't say free win. I would see one easily winnable game.
By the way, sleeper kicker pick, Chris Boswell. I just wanted to add him to the list. Any guy who can kick you 6 field goals in a game is taking before the bottom 2 rounds in your fantasy league. Hashtag sleeper kickers. But anyways, yeah, I think that the Chiefs don't need much more explanation than that. There is one interesting part, is that where their running back is out, and no one knows quite for so how long. He has a PCL tear that's apparently, I did some reading, not as bad as an MCL or ACL tear, but he probably basically not have a great chance of seeing the field again. So Kareem Hunt's going to be kind of their guy. So we have an over-under for him, and I don't really have any opinions on him because I just haven't seen enough of Kareem Allen, Kareem Hunt, over-under 900 yards. I'll start with you, John.
Well, I was the one who set the line at 900 yards, and I based it kind of off of what we were able to see out of Spencer Ware last year in that offense. He had, I believe, 911 yards, and with him going down, it was an MCL and PCL, not just the PCL. He's done for the season. So, and Andy Reid came out right away and said, Kareem Hunt is our starter. He's going to be the guy that we turn to. Yes, they have Charcandrick West in that backfield to help him out, but I'm going to go over, not by a whole lot, but I think Kareem Hunt can be more effective than Spencer Ware was last year. He didn't have a spectacular season. He was good enough for that offense, but he wasn't the Spencer Ware that we saw in 2015 that a lot of people fell in love with after Jamal Charles went down.
He's
a rookie this year, so you wouldn't have seen him play unless you watched college.
Kareem Hunt play that much. I watch college, but I still wouldn't remember Kareem Hunt, but I don't remember the name. But just based off of that, I would say under. I'm basically going off of nothing. I'm going to say he has 700 yards. No reason, though.
I did watch a little bit of college tape on just when they announced him as a starter. I think he probably goes a little bit above. He was explosive at I'm blanking on the school he went to. It wasn't a huge school. It was like kind of a middle of a Toledo, yep. Right? Kind of a mid-major. But I think he can be good enough to overdo that. Here's an interest. One thing that might be kind of interesting about this offense and that made it interesting last year was Tyreek Hill. We're obviously aware that he can return kicks and be a great wide receiver, and they ran some end arounds with him. Do you think we could see him in the backfield? Like, not exclusively, he wouldn't be an RB1, but like, kind of like on third downs? Do you
almost
think
like a Ty Montgomery last year?
Yeah.
Possibly,
exactly,
but at the same time,
remember
they lost Jeremy Maclin, and they let him go to Baltimore. So I don't know if they may go that way, but I think they have a lot of faith in Kareem Hunt, and they don't have a lot of other receiving options that they seem to love. You have Chris Conley. You've got DeAnthony Thomas, but none of these guys really stand out. They may use him out of the backfield on a third down situation, but I would think if you are, teams are going to key in on that and focus on him because of that speed that he flashed last year. The fact of once he turns on the Jets, he can be gone very easily.
Yeah.
You do have Gargantric West and Kareem Hunt, however they play. Between the two, I don't see you seeing them much. Maybe once or twice. Maybe like a little trick play here or there, but nothing more than that, I don't think.
They will give him plenty of trick plays, though. In 16 games, he had 24 attempts. They love that end around because he got 11.1 yards every time he carried it, which is excellent out of that kind of situation.
Yeah, I think that he is, for me, the only reason this Chiefs offense excites me at all. Which kind of brings us to our second to last question and a point I kind of wrote down on the script. Of everything we've said, I think that I don't think the Chargers or the Raiders need any explanation, but I think any team in this division could challenge to win a Super Bowl if everything went right. I think that the Broncos, if Trevor Siemian played a little bit above where he did last year and CJ Anderson had a great year and the defense played up to its potential, I think they could be a Super Bowl caliber team. And the same thing with the Chiefs. I think if Alex Smith was a 10th, like maybe a 10th better than he is right now, or 8/10ths better, like, I think that they could make a run in the playoffs and go to the Super Bowl. Do you guys agree with that? Do you disagree? If you see any teams in this division going to the Super Bowl, who would it be if we're considering this the best division in football? I personally think the best chance would go to the Chargers because I've been on them all day. And I think they kind of come out of nowhere in January, or the Raiders or the Chiefs. I'd probably have the Broncos fourth, but I could see them doing it. I'll start with you, Chris.
I don't think any of them could make a run to the Super Bowl. I have a reason for each one of them. For Denver, too many offensive questions, plus the health of the defense is sketchy. For Oakland, you got too many defensive.
This is assuming everything goes right. This is assuming that that they play up to the potential that people have set for.
I can't see Denver making it. In my vision, I cannot see Denver making it. But Oakland, yeah, I think their defense could show some kind of up to par enough to win a game versus New England. Probably not, but there's a chance. There's always a chance. The Chargers, if they stay healthy, the chance of that are very low. But I don't know. I still don't, actually, I don't feel like they could make it, really. I still don't feel like there's enough talent there for the Chargers to make it. And then Alex Smith's a game manager, so game managers, to me, aren't Super Bowl-caliber teams because they're so you're not going to see many plays over 10 yards for a game manager quarterback, and I don't think they can make it past the wild card round. The best – okay, I'm going to rank my between 1 to 4. Oakland has the best chance, followed by Kansas City. And then you got LA Chargers and then Denver.
For me, I'm going to say the only team I can see making a Super Bowl run is Oakland. I don't see any of them. Kansas City doesn't have the offense. They've got the defense that can help, but they don't have the explosive offense that they've got to be able to put up points. Denver has too many question marks. And the Chargers, if they can stay healthy, yes, but we haven't seen it. It's been nagging injuries. It's been torn ACLs for any of them. And I don't understand why the Chargers keep having this problem every single year, worse than almost any other team. But I don't see them being a Super Bowl caliber just yet. Oakland is the only team that I see that. Right. And I feel like we kind of got screwed last year by Derek Carr getting hurt because we weren't able to see that Patriots-Raiders matchup that everybody saw coming, which would have been really exciting. And I think if everybody, obviously if Carr can stay healthy and on both legs, he's going to challenge the Patriots for that AFC contention.
Okay.
If you were to rank between 1 to 4 the chances of each making it to the Super Bowl, how would you rank them? Oakland number one.
I'd have to go Oakland. Yeah, Oakland, obviously. They stand out above everyone else in that chance. Kansas City would probably be two just because they have the defense and maybe we see a bit more explosiveness out of the offense this year. Chargers are three and Denver's four. I have Chargers three only because of the health and especially the biggest question mark is Keenan Allen.
Right, yeah.
If he's lost for the season again, they have no chance.
We agree.
Okay, so the final big enchilada question here. And we'll start with you, Chris, and we'll end with me. Who do you have winning this division, and is there any team other than the division winner that you see making the playoffs, and are they a 5 or a 6 seed?
Oakland's going to win the division, probably with 11-5 record. The offensive power just overtakes everything else. Every other strength in the division. Oakland's offense overtakes Denver's defense, LA's offense, and Kansas City's defense. And that's the only reason I would say they're winning the division by at least two games. If they go 12-4, I can see Kansas City going 10-6 at the best. And then with my wild card, I would say Kansas City makes up probably the 5th seed. Maybe the 6th seed. You don't know. You never know. But Kansas City's defense is fairly strong. Just the offense makes me question if they would be able to live up to the potential that I'm saying that they have. I'll let you go ahead, John.
For me, I'm absolutely all of it. It's Marshawn Lynch, Michael Crabtree. I'm all on the Raiders bandwagon. They'll win this division. I think they're going to go 11-5. It could be more. It all depends on what a lot of these new pieces for that defense show, with Markell Lee stepping in at middle linebacker. And because the Raiders really focused on defense in this draft. They've got it far and away. I've got the Chiefs probably about 10-6 as well. I think they take the number 5 seed pretty easily because the AFC – outside of Raiders, outside of who I think will step up this year is the Texans, or actually Titans. I'm going to have them win that division. I think the Texans take that second wild card spot, but they're not as good as Kansas City. So I've got Kansas City at the 5. Everyone else misses the playoffs. It's the AFC is pretty much the Patriots, the Raiders, and everyone else.
Okay, so I'm going to go
against the grain, and I think you guys know where I'm going with this. I know I said I wouldn't pick them at the beginning, but the more I talk about the Raiders and the more I think about, okay, here's the case against the Raiders. They won. I saw a stat, some crazy stat that was like, they won over 75% of their games by one score. They did not outscore their opponents by that much. And if one or two things would have gone differently, it would have been a very different season for the Raiders, and they would have probably gone from a 10-6 team to a 9-7 or 8-8 team. I think that they're not that bad, but I think that the Chargers win this division, and I think the Raiders take the 5 spot. And I get that the Chargers are never healthy, but if we're projecting here, I'm projecting that they stay healthy all year. I think that this is the year. This is the year.
What do you
if
say
there's
the
one more year for
River,
like, I know you guys were talking about the Cardinals have one more year with Carson Palmer to really get this right. If there's one more year for Phillip Rivers where he can really still be in his prime, chase a playoff run, this is that year. And I think that they're going to take advantage.
Oakland Raiders.
I haven't seen, let's see here. I don't have the schedules in place of just right on the spot. I do know who they play though. I think
so we're right about the same spot with the record overall.
The Chargers
the Raiders,
are probably gonna go 12-4, and I'd have the Raiders going 11-5
team. I mean,
I just believe that there's one team in that division that's better.
So you have the Chargers going at least 12-4.
No, I think that's the ceiling. I think the floor is 10-6. I really do. I think it's they're between a 10-12 win team. It would shock me if they won 13 or more games. But it would not shock me if they were in 10-12.
Personally, a lot of it does come down to health, and that's skepticism and who knows what happened. They do have a bit easier of a schedule than the rest because they get the 49ers, who are at the bottom of their division. They get the, looks like the Browns, who are at the bottom of that division. So that helps them, but at the same time, those are only two games. You still have to play your division, and it's such a fragile, thin line for the Chargers. Keenan Allen, if he's on the field, all right, they've got a chance.
I don't know.
If he's gone,
I think
done.
The ceiling for the Chargers is 9-7. And the probably the lowest they'd be is 6-10.
Well, this is all left to be seen at the end of the year, and I think you guys are going to be we're going to have a fun time this weekend talking about where we think teams and players will end up, because I got some not uber bold takes, but some takes that I feel like they're gonna cause a little bit of heat, and I like heat. So let's continue on, and we'll do this. I'll see you guys again on Saturday. If you guys haven't already, check us out on iTunes. Check us out on prosportsfandom.com. You can follow Chris on Twitter at CHRCHS1. You can follow John on Twitter, now not Dad Socks, which I was very disappointed in. I know he thinks that this new Twitter handle sounds more pro, but I really love Dad Socks so much more. And he'll always be at Dad Socks to me, but now you can find him on at JButlerPSF. And Chris isn't even CHRCHS anymore. Everyone's changing.
Yep.
He is now Chris PSF. And I am still Eric
for
18
now.
Utah. I am not
also,
yet being waited to change that. Until word comes down from our site's boss, I am not changing that. I love my Twitter. 18, by the way, number of the GOAT, in my opinion, Peyton Manning. But
also,
we could say that for another day. But yes, Chris, I know what you're getting to.
Yep.
Gift card.
We have a gift card giveaway going. It's going to be going till the first weekend of the season, probably. I know we said first day of the season, but because that's a Thursday, that's kind of hard.
Yeah.
So we're just going to make it go till the end of that week. That Sunday, as soon as the games are done on that Sunday, that closes, we'll go ahead and we'll click on that tweet. We'll choose. We'll click on one of the retweets. If that retweet is following us, then guess what? That retweet wins a $25 sweet gift card to get some NFL swag. But anyways, fellas, until Sunday or Saturday,
see ya.
Expect a show by Monday. Peace out.